Dan Sheridan with CrossHandThrone.com. We are in Paul's letter to the Romans, and today we start Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, in this section here in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, Paul is anticipating Jewish questions. So he asks the question, and then he's going to answer them. Now, notice in verse 1, what we just read, the question is, what advantage then? Now, notice the word then. It connects us what took place, what we read in Romans chapter 2, where Paul makes the comment there that a Jew is one who is one inwardly, and that if a Gentile kept the law, he's considered circumcised. A Jew hearing that would say, well, if that's the case, if it only matters inwardly, what advantage then do we have being Jews of the seed of Abraham? Well, the answer to that question is much every way. And the chiefest was that they were committed the oracles of God. That was their greatest advantage and privilege that they have. Now, oracles were the spoken and written word. They had the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle, and all the service that went with it, and that was part of their privileges. Now, all the writers in the Old and New Testament were Jewish. Keep that in mind. If you turn to Romans 9, 3-5, and we're going to get to this eventually, but I'll read it here. In 9, 3-5, we read this. Paul says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Now notice all those privileges that they have. This was their great privilege. In a world of idolatry, remember in Genesis 10 and 11, as we studied in Romans 1, the Gentiles went into idolatry, then God called Abraham, and in Abraham, through his seed, they were to be a blessing to the whole world. The nation of Israel was to be the priesthood nation, according to Exodus 19. And they were to bring the light of the true and living God to a world gone to idolatry. But we know what happened. And remember, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Look at verse 3 and 4 here of Romans 3. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." So man's faithlessness, his unbelief, only serves as a contrast to God's faithfulness. Now this quote here in verse 4 is from Psalm 51, verse 4, and it reads this. Now the occasion of this psalm was when David had committed murder and adultery. Do you remember that story in the Old Testament? When David took Bathsheba, and then he had Bathsheba's husband killed. And David said this in that psalm, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Remember, God is always right. And the first step a man takes that is a right step toward God is recognizing that it is he who has sinned and he has done evil so that God may be justified when he speaks. Man's sin is the background for God's righteousness. Man must never blame anyone else for his sin. He must acknowledge it so God can bring the necessary salvation for man. God is always in the right. Romans is leading us to this in Romans 1, 2, and 3. We are going to acknowledge, like David, that we are sinners and that God is just, and yet he is the justifier. We acknowledge with David that we've sinned and done evil in his sight. Romans 1, 2, and 3 points that out. And then God is going to show us that through what Christ accomplished, there's justification for mankind. What a great gift. But remember, Paul being a good doctor here in Romans 3, he's pointing out our disease before he brings the great cure. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for joining me. This is CrossAndThrone.com.